Parshas Ki Tisa. So I want to share with you an idea by Rabbanit Sharon Rimon. It's been a really long time since we've used anything by her, because I haven't really used Tormi Etzion in quite a while. But it's a good question, which God willing, over the course of Shabbos, we'll probably address several times. The question is, what's the purpose of counting the Jewish people? And how exactly does that work? And we're going to take a look at it, you know, from one perspective, which I do believe we touched upon some of this a really long time ago. So if anybody remembers, it's Chazara. But what's the purpose of counting the Jewish people? So let's take a look at it. I did I did make it a little bit easier by highlighting and italicizing certain words, although I think the italic words are a little bit harder to notice. The bold words, not as much. So, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe le'emor, ki tisat rosh b'nei Yisrael ufkudeihem nanu ish kofer nafsho la'Hashem b'fkodotam v'lo yem behem negef b'fkodotam. So it's clear in that pasuk alone that the idea of whatever pakad is, it really is the highlight. So ki tisat et rosh b'nei Yisrael, when you count the Jewish people. So anyway, that's a really hard one. What does it mean ki tisat rosh b'nei Yisrael? Is that obligatory? Like, you're going to count? Or is it if you count? Which one is it? So when you count the Jewish people, lefkudeihem, by number, benanu ish kofer nafsho la'Hashem b'fkodotam, and each person will give a kofer nafsho, a ransom, if you will, on his soul when he's counted. V'lo yeh benegef b'fkodotam, and there won't be any negef, any calamity, any. Having a hard time getting the word, but a plague, thank you. No plague will happen to the Jewish people when you count them. So the two questions that I really want to try to understand mainly is, what is the purpose of counting? And also, what do we deal with? What do we do with this kofer nafsho? What does that really mean? That it's a ransom on your soul? How does that work? And is this a commandment? Do you have to do this?
What is a negative?
What is it?
What is the negative?
Well, is it like an ayin hara?
As you're counting, there won't be a plague. Like, it's not, there's nothing transmissible. Diseases won't go around.
Right.
Or so, as you're putting stuff in, or it's mean in general, as long as there is counting, there will never be a negative. Like,
yeah. So it's a very hard idea. What does that mean? So, we'll hopefully understand that a little bit better. But again, is it a mitzvah to count the Jewish people? In fact, there is a machlokas in the Rishonim. So if you if there's a bracha on the mitzvah of Matzis HaShekel. Nowadays, for sure not, because it's not where it's Lezecher, which most people don't necessarily say, but it's important to note that you're not supposed to say this is the Matzis HaShekel, this is just Lezecher. But were it to be that it was for the Matzis HaShekel, would you, is there a mitzvah, is there a bracha?
Is this counted as a mitzvah?
I think it is. I mean, you'd have to look in the Chumash on that. I feel like the fancy Mikros Gedolos are good that way. Like at the beginning of every parsha, they'll list it. Or yeah, you could Google it also. I'm sure that will be a quicker way.
Who's being counted? Who's each?
Yeah. So who are we counting? We'll answer that in Pasuk Yudalit. And it's ish. It's not watcha. It's not women. It's just it's a mitzvah for the men, not the women.
Well, what's rosh?
You count the heads of the Jewish people.
Is that the source for not counting the people, but count the
meaning
people?
Like we're counting, right? Like yarmulkes, right?
Is that this it?
I'm not sure. I mean, the concept, there is this concept of negev. Somehow counting is a bad thing. So we're not supposed to count people. Is it ayin hara? Is it negev? What exactly does it mean? And maybe they're connected. Maybe because of this concept of negev, it's kind of evolved into the ayin hara. I mean, I do remember either as a student or as a teacher at some point where like, you're counting, and there are some people that don't care. It's like 1, 2, 3, and like you'd have like a kid jump to the side, like, no, don't do that to me. No. It's like, oh, okay. But I think there's a lot of things to take a little bit more seriously, but okay, but there is something in here that we have to understand a little bit better. So, Pasuk, you, sorry. Okay. So pasuk yigemel zayu nukol over al pukutim machatzita shekel b'shekel kodesh esim geira a shekel machatzita shekel truma l'Hashem. So this is what you're going to. This is what everybody that's counted has to do. You have to give a machatzit a shekel. Obviously, the biggest question of all is why machatzit a shekel? Why not a full shekel? So I heard a nice vart by Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg at some point today. I'm not sure when, where he says that that if you give a full, then a person could say like, oh, I'm complete, I'm whole, I did my part. When you give a machzit, it means that you need someone else to complete your part of it. Right? It's a cute idea. Okay, so he takes this coin, and it's called, he is told to give this amount. And who is counted? It's anyone who's over 20 years old. He has to give the gift to God. So the rich person cannot give more, and the poor person can't give less, which is like it's a fascinating like concept in fundraising, because if a fundraiser needs $1 million, then in his first call, the guy says, okay, great, I'm in for the whole thing. He's like, amazing, like my job is done. I'll tell you a slightly funny story. You might not find it so funny, but it was like an interesting psychological experiment that I saw last week done on myself over the course of an hour. So there was a Lemana Chai, I don't know if some people might have heard of it. It's an organization based in Ramat Beit Shemesh, but they do a lot of fundraising even in America. So Leman HaChai had this event on a Motzei Shabbos like a few months ago. It was called like, beer and shawarma, but they had a better like marketing name. And I was like, I don't drink beer, but shawarma sounds good. And it was like a Motzei Shabbos. I went to this event and I thought that like it was how to get involved in any part of Leman HaChai. Apparently if you went to that meeting, which I totally missed in everything I read from them, it was that you were going to go and collect money on Purim with a bucket for Leman HaChai. So I was like, okay, I got my bucket, and I was like sitting in shul on Purim morning trying to collect money. But they were like, now they had my name, and they're like, hey, do you want to stand outside of Best Market, which is where all the Americans that want to get ripped off, not that Best rips off people, but it's the most pricey of all the supermarkets in Beit Shemesh. They're like, we need someone to take an hour shift right outside of Best. So I was like, okay, this is not what I signed up for. That's what I said to them. I was like, at least have that, right? So it's like, I'm like, all right, fine. I didn't really sign up for any of this, but I guess it was the most expensive shawarma like I ever had. So I'm standing outside.
Was it good?
It was actually, it was from the place that we went to.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's how I, one way or the other, I knew it was worth it.
I found that place walking to shul when I was doing my Beit Shemesh.
You did find it?
No, I walked on Shabbos, it was closed.
Oh,
I
went yeah.
I on the shul.
That's a long, that's a long walk from shul to there.
It was a long walk. Anyway.
So I'm at this, such a, I'm like outside Best, and the first 10 minutes are like amazing. I'm like, Leman HaChai. And everybody's stopping and dropping money. I'm like, this is awesome. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, Leman HaChai. And nobody's like coming. Then I'm like, Leman HaChai. And nobody. And it gets quieter and quieter each time. It's so hard. And then some person's like, here's 600 shekel. I'm like, Leman HaChai. It's like, you really see, like, if you're successful, it builds you up. And if not, it takes you out. And I think that's like, you know, in fundraising, if one person gives you $1 million, you're like, oh, amazing, like I did it. And yet here's the exact opposite. It doesn't. If someone comes and says, I want to pay for all of Klal Yisrael's machzit of shekels, sorry, you could only give a half a shekel. So what's the purpose of this?
It's not to be a pessimist, but this does give a rich person the right to give less.
Well, this is not Truma, this is not nice. What? This is,
it's not a fundraiser.
This is not a fundraiser. This is not
why does it have to say more than every person has to give a half? They're saying the rich person can't give more, and a person, right. Poor person. The point is
to but, this fund.
Yes,
because it's
but
a specific
a poor
purpose
person,
of this fund.
That says a rich person could give less.
Where? Well, no. I mean, everyone.
Has, why does it have to say if everyone?
Because
if it, everyone has to give a half, then that's it.
Right, everybody has to give a half, but you yeah, might. The rich person might
more.
Say, "I want to give more." He's not.
No,
gonna
he's saying, "But no. Well, now maybe the rich person can give less because it didn't say exclusively you can't give
the
less."
The poor person could give more in theory. No,
right, I'm saying.
Right, that's
how
I think
it's.
I understand, but I'm right there though. that a person can say, so
I
can give
it. I think it's for example.
I can give you
a British person.
Yeah, yeah. It does not have to be my coin. So if I'm a poor person and I have no money, I could walk over to the rich guy and be like, dude, I have nothing. Can I have a machzit a shekel? He can give it to me. But when he gives it to me,
it's
now mine. And now I take the machzit a shekel and I give it.
Here's your workaround.
Yeah, so, but
this doesn't answer my question.
You can't do it all tonight. You just have to give it to you.
Right, I think that the everybody has to give a machzit a shekel.
Clearly.
There is the rich person might have the thought that I'd like to give more because I can. And the poor person might say, I really can't do it, so I'm going to have to give less. And the Torah is telling us, it, no matter what, you got to figure out how to get your mouth to the shekel in. All right,
it just seems
okay.
Play on words.
Okay, so that's it. Do it. Lechaper al nafshoteichem. So why are you giving it? So we're giving it lechaper al nafshoteichem, to gain atonement to our soul. So what do we do wrong? The idea of kapara, which you're going to see, makes its way into the back end of the psukim, seems like I messed up. So I'm getting kapara. But what did I mess up? All I did was I took my machzit a shekel and I gave it. And why are we doing this? Is it, you know, we assume that this is done for the purpose of a census. Is this?
No, it's for the Mishkan, which is a kapara for the...
Okay, so we have to try to understand a little bit. So we're going to take from the Kesef HaKippurim, and what are we going to do with it? It's going to go to be something in the Ol Moed, and the Jewish people will be remembered before God to atone for their souls. Okay, so. The question is, when does this happen, and what is this for, and is counting done here or not at all? So counting is done eventually. If you take a look at the next psukim, which are from Pekudei, we see counting there. So it says, V'kesef Pekudei Aida Me'a Kikar Ve'elef U'me'at Me'ot V'chamisha V'shivim Shekel P'Shekel HaKodesh. There's a lot of silver collected, which was Bekel HaGulgolet, a measurement per person. Machzir shekel b'shekel kodesh cholover al putim in bienes from shana b'malo the 600,000 u'shloshel alfim v'chamishim. 600.
Golas is skull, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we had Rosh before, and I have skull.
Right. Okay. So presumably it's like the same concept. So these psukim do seem to correlate, and it says vahim na'at kikar like kesef latzeket adnei hakodesh v'adnei haparochin me'at adanim l'me'at kikar la'aden. And a portion of this was used for the adonim, the bases that the boards, or not the boards, that the poles that made the Mishkan went into. So it seems like the counting happens. So is this the same counting? Meaning, is it the tzivoy is in Lamed, and then the actualization of it is in Lamed Chet? It's a good something to wonder. Now the question is, is it a mitzvah to do this? Do we have to do this? The Ramban says you actually don't have to count the Jewish people. There is no mitzvah here. But what the Torah is telling us is that if you count, meaning in general, you have to get a matzah, a shekel. For everybody, that was going to be the adonim, fine. But if you wanted to, you didn't have to count the Jewish people. There was not a yearly census or a every 10 years census or whatever. They just, like, if you wanted to count the Jewish people.
Did you do a head count before battle?
So if you want to count them for whatever reason, then the Ramban says the way to count them is this way. But if you don't want to count them, or you have no reason to count them, you know, let's take a look. If you look at certain stretches in Tanakh, there is no reason to count them. The army is quiet, not doing anything, or it's the local army anyway, so you don't have to count them.
But don't you learn randomly every time there's a counting? Why? Because Hashem loves us so much, so He counted us.
Right, so there's a lot of that, right? We have a lot of counting in Chumash.
Yeah.
We have it in Bamidbar, and then it happens. It happens in Bamidbar, and it happens here. So, and how far apart is it? It's like within a year. Right. It's that big book of Vayikra in between. But we don't necessarily need the counting, but God loves us, so He counts us. Okay. So now let's take a look at Bamidbar. So Bamidbar has another accounting. Suat Rosh Kol Adapani Yisrael Mishpachot Talavet Avotam. It's Rashi called Zachar L'Gul Gol Avotam. So here we have L'Gul Gol Avotam. And we don't have that in Kitisa. But what's interesting is if you look at Kitisa carefully, there, well, it's Kitisat Rosh Ben Yisrael. If you're going to count them. When you're going to count them, this is what you do. What does it say in Bamidbar Aleph?
Suat
Rosh. What does Suat Rosh means? Count them. It's not like, if you feel like it's a nice idea, maybe you should count them, right? No, you're going to have to count the Jewish people. So why is it that there, it's done differently? And how do they count them there? Is it like 1, 2, 3, 4? Or do they also collect money there? We have no indication that money is done there, but it's clear that there it's a commandment. Not necessarily a mitzvah, but it is a commandment. In the moment, we need to know how many Jews there are. Now here, it's at least a little bit clear. In Pasuk Yidal, it's called Over al Pekudim, whoever is counted. But here, it's Kol Yotzei Tzavav Yisrael, whoever goes out to battle. So it's clear, why do you need to count them there? You don't know how many soldiers you have. So how do you do that? So, I don't know, go ahead and count it.
Well, the counting had to be for B'nai Israel's benefit, not Hashem's benefit, because you knew how many Jews there were.
Right. Okay.
Did they have to order uniforms? I don't know.
Also, wasn't there, and I mean, clearly we had it later on in Nach, but the concept of not everybody's worthy for battle, even though you're over 20? You had to be righteous and not married. So what's the value of counting if it's not going to be accurate anyway, because these are not going to be your warriors?
Right. So that's such a, I mean, that's Dvarim. We have that in, I think it's in Kitetse, when we talk about the Meshuach Melchama, the special Kohen that would go out and yell at the people. And before that, they were, is it Kitetse? And they would say, like, Mi'aisha Yarev Arach Levav, if you're afraid, don't go, you don't have to go. And they gave people enough outs. And you had all the people that went home because they didn't finish building their houses or their
vineyard.
Right. And then finally at the end.
Not in the Midbar.
No, so but it could be that there wasn't as much of a concern. If this
could be Hollywood.
What?
Could be Hollywood in the Midbar.
Could be, but there was no counting of the people that left. I don't remember that being.
No, this is at the end.
Right, but by Midbar Aleph was like they were at ready to go into the land of Israel. Maybe if they had gone into Israel at that point in time, it would have been done differently. Not sure. Okay, so let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi is going to address why is it bad to count. So he says, "Ki tisa l'shon kabbalah kitargumo kishetakpot zekabel schum minyanan aldak kamahem al timim lagul golet." Interestingly, that Rashi uses the word lagul golet, even though the psukim itself say "ki tisa et rosh." Eliyidu kol echad machzed a shekel. Everybody should give a half a shekel. V'timnet hashkalim v'teidam minyanam, and then count the shkalim. And you'll know how many people you have. Okay. Below you have a negev. Sheminyan sholid bo ayin hara. When you count people, it gives an ayin hara. Vadever ba'alehem, and pestilence comes upon them. Kimo shemetzinu b'David. Like the story of David. The story of David, it's at the end of David's reign, the end of Shmuel Bet. What happens? David comes up with this idea that he wants to count how many soldiers he has. Or not, how many people he has. And Yoav says to him, like, why are we doing this? He goes, nah, because I think it's a great idea. We should know how many people there are. And he's like, Yoav is like, this is just a bad plan. And he's like, no, it's great, let's do it. And so what happens? They count. And that is, and what happens right after that? Vayomer David el God, Tzarli Mo'od. Right? So we say that multiple times every day, unless you daven at a Hasidish mincha, in which case you do it just shachris. Right. But but we generally, David gets punished for it. So why? So that's what we have to try to understand. So that's really the critical question. Why is counting so bad? So let's take a look at Shmuel. Interestingly, while Shaul does so many things wrong, when he wants to count the people, he gets it right. So let's take a look at two sources of Shmuel. The first one is Shmuel Aleph Tedvav, which is right before Amalek. Now this is nuts, by the way. He wants to know how many people he has before he goes out to war with Amalek, so he counts them with tlaim. Are those goats, sheep maybe? So everybody's got to bring a sheep before they go out to battle. Which, by the way, I did this before I left for Purim. I had to make sure that this chabura was done and everything. So I did not have a chance to explore this question, and maybe it's an idiot question, but I think it's a real, like, good question. Shaul counts the people. How many people does he have? Matayim elef raglif v'aser elefim yishuda. He has either 210,000 people or 200,000 soldiers. How many sheep does he have now?
None. He didn't keep them.
What does he do with them?
He counted the sheep, and then he sends them back.
Yeah, but what does he do with them afterwards? They're going to the battle. They're not. You have 200,000 sheep. It's like, all right, guys. I'll see you in a day.
He didn't want to count the heads because it's going to be this. It's going to bring Dever. So he counted the sheep. Everyone's walking by with the sheep. I'm counting the sheep.
Yeah, but now
one person, one sheep.
But now, what do I do with the sheep?
Nothing. They didn't. They kept going with the person. They went back home.
They got independent. No, so they didn't go home. They went to war afterwards.
How, the next day, that minute?
Yeah.
How long does it take to count 210 people by hand? 210,000.
As the troops come in, you count them. But you're not
herding 210,000 sheep. You're not counting the people. This is not like a day operation.
Okay, but I'm saying, but after you heard, after you have all the sheep in one place,
no, exactly. I don't think that happened. I think they walked past.
He had to feed the army. And they had the sheep.
That's a lot of sheep. It's not a long war.
They were 210,000 soldiers and a couple of chefs.
That is a heck of a barbecue.
No, but so this is my question. And I really think it's a good question, but maybe it's not. Afterwards, what's his mistake? He doesn't kill. He lets Agag live and all the sheep.
And then he brought more sheep. He brought down Maliki sheep.
Right. Why
didn't
did
need
he?
Them. That's why I don't think he kept the sheep. He didn't need the Amaliki sheep. He had 210,000 sheep. How many Amaliki sheep does he need?
That's my point. My point is, why did he?
Because he didn't keep the sheep. He didn't keep the Jewish sheep.
I don't know what that means. I don't know where they went. Like, unless they like set them free.
They went back home.
I don't know. I think it's a little weird. But anyway, that's one way to count it. Now, interestingly, the first time he counts, it says in Parak Yud Aleph Pasuk Chet, so it's earlier. The first time he counted them, there were 200,000 soldiers, there were 300,000 soldiers, and 30,000 of them were from Yehuda. So either it was 300,000 total or 330,000. So what is Vayifkedem Bebazek? So Bar Ben El says, they gathered in Bezek and they counted the people. Oh yeah, Perusho Bavadnim Ktanim. Each person brought a pebble. Now I'm thinking
a lot easier than a sheep.
I'm thinking it's just a lot better. You find a big sandy area with no rocks there. Everybody drops their pebbles. Get a couple of accountants, they start counting, and then you're done. So, and then afterwards, you just leave them there. And you don't have to figure out, did they take the sheep? Did they send the sheep home? Did the wives bring them? Who cares? The stones are there. And probably, it's a nice pile that's Arayom Hazeh.
Or it becomes ammunition in the slingshots.
Yeah, could be. So that's the second possibility. So Natana kol echad, even katanu, pakad kol ben, ladat min yanam show yourself. Vayif Gedein Bebazek says.
Is that what Bezek means, pebble?
So it's either a place. We have a king. There's a king, Adoni Bezek. Could be that's where he's from. Or it's a small stone.
So that's what the word Bezek
means. That would be. That's a Bar Ben El's other alternative answer. And then Rashi says, Rabotenu Amru, the Gemara in Yuma says, Beshivrei Charasim. Now this is awesome.
It's almost like law.
Because if you walk around Israel, it's so easy to find this. It's just a broken shard of pottery. I'm thinking that's probably easier, but in terms of accuracy, the sheep will be a lot better.
The pottery was new then, you know.
Right, but it was all broken. No, it was, because they found they found 500-year-old pottery from the Canaanim. But a broken piece of pottery, could you just imagine how that goes? Like, everybody comes and they drop it on the floor and it breaks into more. So they're like, we think we have somewhere between 100,000 and a million people.
Well, that makes sense, actually, because they just had 100,000, 200,000, now they have 300,000.
Right, so I don't know. So that the Shivri Harasim would explain why in the matter of five brachim, 100,000 soldiers are lost. Okay, so it's weird, but there are different ways of doing it. You could use money, you could use animals, you could use pebbles, you could use broken pieces of pottery.
Yarmulkes.
All possibilities. So the question is, like, again, we're back. They were wearing turbans. Yeah, it's just have someone sitting there with, like, making lines. It's like 1, 2, 5, 5. Over and over again. It's like, shoot, did I miss?
You didn't have Roman numerals yet? That was coming not that much
later. So that's the question. So what exactly is going on?
You had gematrias.
And we're still stuck with why do we need a kapara? So I'm not sure who says this. Could be that it's Rabbani Rimon. Some say that the reason why we need a kapara is just because counting is bad. And because counting is bad, you need a kapara. It's interesting. I like Malki's family. Okay, Malki and I, forget her family. I don't have to drag them into this. Malki and I are not necessarily on the same page when it comes to Ayin Hara. You can guess which one of us feels which way about Ayin Hara. But we do feel a little bit differently. So when we started the camp years ago, someone might have suggested that it's a bad idea to tell people how many numbers of campers you have. And that's like the only question people ask you when you have a camp. How many kids do you have? It's not where do you go. How many kids do you have in the camp? So someone suggested that the answer should always be, Kanai Nahara. It's like, how many campers? Kanai Nahara. So really what they... I said
two busloads.
I did say that for a long time, and then... It's just like such an uncomfortable follow-up question. So the answer finally became, I don't know. Like, what do you mean you don't know? I was like, because I have kids that register, even like with a week left in camp. So I don't know how many kids are in camp until the last day of camp. And then after when summer is over, it's like, I don't know, I've already moved on to the next summer. So whatever.
You get the carnival, it says, how many tickets do you need?
Each trip is different.
Oh,
no, I'm sorry. I thought that's what you were even talking about.
I know when I go to Hershey Park how many tickets I need.
Sometimes you buy extra.
Yeah, sometimes buy extra. Then they're posted on West Hempstead Schools or Facebook. But it's like one of those things where, like, what does it mean that the counting is bad? How is it bad? What does it mean? So I want to share with you a beautiful idea by Rabbanit Rimon. But first I want to share with you the Malbim. So the Malbim says, "Ki kvar be'arti be'peirush Shmuel bet shemashe minyan mazika la'negev yeshu gimel tamim." He says there are three parts or three explanations why counting is bad. Aleph mitzad ayin hara. I knew I was going to be tired. I even wrote on top of ayin hey reish ayin hara. Yeah, ayin hara. It's bad. Rashi says that here. Bet mitzad she'ena bracha shorel v'davar samui mina ayin. Bracha, I don't understand what this exactly means. But bracha is in things, maybe I understand a little bit. Bracha is when you don't know how much you have, right? Meaning when you know that you have 20 of a thing, it's like, I have 20 things. But when you see a big pile, you're like, I don't know what I have, but it looks nice. So that's the second idea.
He's saying it's the opposite of the INR.
Right. Well, maybe that's why we don't count things, right? Because you give your... Maybe that is how Ayin Hara works, which is... which might be one of the ways that the Merrill family looks at it differently. One is Ayin Hara, like, if someone says something, it's bad, it's going to happen. Or, like, once you really know, yeah, like, then you're like, it's all I have. Right. Like, I always felt... anybody watch DuckTales? I'm like, I guess, you know... That's like when Scrooge McDuck would, like, swim through his money and be like, I have blah, 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 exactly. So it just looks like so much money. And then when he swims through it, it's like, and he tells it, it's like, all right. So I think that's the idea behind the second one. In Gimel, kol od shehim ha'am mitachtim v'im kulam ki sheh chad zchut ha'rabim gadol me'od. When you have this collective, that everybody has, you have this chus rabim of everybody together. Aval kishemonim otam sh'az mafridim kol ish yisrael b'fnei atzmo. But when you count the person, what you're saying is, you're a person, and you're a person, and you're a person, we're no longer a group, then you lose out on the merit of the rabbim. Kol ish yisrael v'yechposu maseim. Then what happens is, God starts looking and saying, how do each of you stack up as an individual? And God finds all the things that we're not doing so well and says, you could do better there, you could do better there. But when we are all together and God looks at us and says, all right, you know, it's kind of a little bit nicer that way. Okay, latakin zet siva shekol echad yeshan machzida shekel gives the machzida shekel shezem moral gudatam shekol yachidu rak machatzit velo davar shalim. And that's the famous answer, it's a machzida shekel, because we're all together. And we become one whole thing. Okay, so that is that's the Malbim. So Rabbi Rimon says it's a mitzvah to give a half a shekel. It's not a mitzvah to count the half a shekel. We don't care about the counting. We care about the machzir shekel. And the karbon is if we, right, so but then the question is, why do we need this carbon? What's the deal with the carbon? So she gives a really beautiful answer.
Which carbon?
The carbon that's attached, meaning the kapara that comes with the
kapara.
With yeah. What's the meaning? It's not carbon, but what's kapara has an indication. It's a carbon in some way. It's, I mean, it's a, physically you're burning an animal, but how do the two of them connect to each other? And so this is what she says. This is a really beautiful answer. She says that, Why do we have a census? So a census could be that you want to know how many men you have to go out to war. If you know that you have 200,000 soldiers, you might think differently than if you have 20,000 soldiers. So you need to know what your armed force is. That's important. You might also want to know how many people you have so you can know what your taxes that you're collecting are. That's also important. That's going to help society run. There's nothing bad with the, I mean, there might be something bad in our feelings towards paying taxes, but there's nothing wrong with counting for taxes or soldiers. But when is counting bad? Why is David counting? He doesn't have a war. He's not interested in the taxes. He's just counting because he wants to know how many people are in my chevra. How many people are under my control? And when it's done for that, and it's to make himself feel good about himself, so that is no longer a good thing. To see how powerful we are, that's actually the ultimate trap. The trap of falling into the thought of it's all about me. And that is really, really very, very dangerous. And so Rabbanit Rimon says that's why we have the carbon. The carbon is meant to refocus ourselves when we start thinking about perhaps it's all about me. Comes along the Torah and reminds us, no, the reason why we are successful, the reason why we do all of these things is to acknowledge the centrality of God. I think it's a powerful idea, and perhaps it's an interesting thing, because if you think about a lot of Tanakh, we're generally not the strong, like we're usually the underdog, and I think that's God's plan intentionally. In fact, he says in Dvarim that we're purposely a little group of people. Why? Because when we're a little group of people, it is, We stop thinking that our accomplishments are ours, but we acknowledge that our accomplishments are the accomplishments of God. And I think that is truly the only way to understand the Jewish people. The fact that we are still here after all these thousands of years is not a testament to us, but it's a testament to the fact that God wants us to be here, because there is no other reason why we should still be here. And so she says that's the purpose of the counting. The counting cannot be for us to feel good about ourselves, but it has to be for the purpose of godliness. And since counting often creates this feeling of, wow, I am so special, I am so great, the Torah therefore says it really needs to be a kapara, l'chaper al nafshoteichem. And so the two of them go hand in hand.
That's why I think Shaul kept the sheep.
And brought a massive carbon.
Right.
Right, no, but no, but really, if he kept the sheep, then that only strengthens my question.
That's the point.
Yeah.
That was, yes, but when they collected the pebbles, it didn't.
Yeah, but if he collected, right, but then I think the research question that we have to figure out is, if that's the case, why did he keep the sheep from
Malik?
From a Malik, he didn't need them.
I know, that's why I don't think I still don't think he kept the sheep.
You're helping me out there.
What? We can make sure funny people realize.
He said he had the best sheep.
Yes. Right, but I'm saying but he had 200,000 of them.
These were the best. These were better. I don't have an issue with the sheep, actually. I sleep fine.
What's your issue with the sheep?
In general.
I have no issue with the sheep.
I have an issue with the pebbles.
That's how he sleeps.
But the pebbles and the shards make no sense because there's no kapara. There's no value to pebbles and shards. So
right,
you have a sheet of pebbles and shards.
Right, because what we'll say is that you only need, it's only when you're doing it, that's what Rabbanit Rimon's point is. When you're doing it only because you need, it's tactical. I need to know how many soldiers I have, so then there's no self-aggrandizement.
But here, wasn't it both times a shekel in the Chumash?
No, only the first time. We don't know. We don't know if there's in Bamidbar. There's no indication that there was money exchanged.
Did Yahushua count? They had numbers of soldiers, but
I don't think it was a count.
How they know?
So he probably had the end of Bamidbar count, which was the end of Bamidbar count was like within a year of them leaving.
So how
and they all survived. And
right,
they
all
died in the last year.
Yeah, no, it was after.
They were newlyweds and people who were afraid, so they actually had soldier counts.
No, because there you're not, they're in Milchemet Mitzvah.
Oh, you know, there's no
everybody's got to go. It's not like, you know, first of all, nobody had houses. They always go back to Gilgal.
No, it's a newlyweds.
But even there, in Milchemet Mitzvah, they absolutely, everybody's got to go to war.
The people who were newlyweds the year before are not anymore. It's like, it's kind of balanced.
And no one died the last year, so the count would have stayed constant. Except, and the babies would be too young.